Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Hello! I'm Naomi.
And I'm Danielle.
And this is Batch Bitch, the podcast where we bitch about The Bachelor, which is kind of actually what we're doing today. Isn't that exciting, Danielle?
Yeah, first time in months.
In months, because we don't really care about it. And we have a perfect guest today, Ben Russell. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. A long-time listener, first-time guest. And
really?
It is
a long-time listener.
Well, I listened to one previously before coming. I always do my
research,
you know, just
Oh no, did you actually listen? Surely you didn't listen to the whole thing. I could never get through.
I mean, I don't really I'm not a big podcast listener, and that's ironic because I do a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, but I would say that your podcast, The Grub, is at least not punishing. I would say that our podcast is punishing because it's just us talking for sometimes up to 2 hours with no plan.
Wow, you do 2 hour long. I don't have that time. I got to do stuff today.
No, it's not. This one doesn't have to be 2 hours.
Yeah, well, you can leave and we'll just keep talking after.
It's because we will like recap The Bachelor or like Married at First Sight, and sometimes there is a lot of shit to get through.
Yeah.
And it's we don't even care about it. That's why it's a punish. But your podcast is actually well structured and edited and effort put into it.
Yeah, we put some effort into it, for fuck's sake. Check out The Grub. But
very funny.
I don't care about The Bachelor either. I really don't care about The Bachelor at all.
No, it's very boring.
I find it very boring television, full of vapid and boring and uninteresting people. It's kind
and why
of
are you on the podcast
the
today, Ben?
Because I was involved in a wedding. Uh-huh. By involved, I mean invited, and I went between Georgia Love and Lee, The Bachelorette.
The reigning couple of Bachelorette season 2, 3?
I don't know. It was not a season I watched.
It is a season that I watched. Hang on, let me look it up.
It wasn't season 1. I think it might have been season 2, maybe.
Bachelorette AU. Okay, I looked up Bachelorette AU and it's giving me a lot of Bachelorette party supplies. So that's not what we want.
A lot of dicks and straws.
Oh, yuck. If I ever have a hen's party, I don't even want a hen's party. It's the second worst kind of party.
Why not have a hen's
baby
party?
Shower.
It's just an excuse to have a party and then get fucked up, right? I think when you go wrong is when you have all those dick paraphernalia.
It's disgusting to me.
It's the same with bachelor parties. Like, I don't want a fucking stripper. I think that's fucked.
Yeah. Well, I did say, they were like, what about a female stripper? And I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
What if we just go to the day spa, Naomi, for your bachelorette party? We'll just go to a day spa. Is a bachelorette party the same as a hen's night, or are they different things?
I think they're the same thing.
Mm. Okay, thank God.
thank fucking Christ. Okay, so
I have like three weddings this year. It's like a lot to know where I've got to be for all the different ones.
For my bachelor party, I just want to go. I want to get a house in the country, and I want to do as many drugs as possible.
Perfect.
And just have a big night out, you know, a big night in the country with good mates.
That sounds amazing. But that's the thing. Yeah, like, would it just be guys? Because that's kind of the other annoying thing for me is the separating the women and the men. And I don't know if it makes me a misogynist, because then, because my two least favorite types of parties are hens, and the only thing above that as worse for me is baby shower. So I think I'm actually a pick me bitch, and I'm a misogynist, because my two least favorite types of parties are ones where men aren't allowed to be there.
I don't really get along with other women.
Honestly, there's so much drama involved.
Most of my friends are guys.
Actually, I went to a bachelorette party that was fucked up. It was on a boat. It was a booze cruise with topless waiters and then male strippers, right? And the audience, you know those ones that go on the Yarra? And it's like a low ceiling and, you know, it's just kind of dingy. It was 9 hens parties sitting in like sections on chairs. And so we were in one of them. All the bride-to-bes are sitting up the front. And then like sort of one by one, they get called up during the show portion to like get a lap dance. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a male stripper, but somehow it's still the woman getting degraded.
Yeah.
They like grab your face and shove it into your their crotch, and it's just like they just
life
flip
finds
you around.
A way, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We'll find a way to fuck it up somehow.
Anyway, so my friend getting married, same size as me, she's getting her lap dance. He's like, you know, holding her. He picks her up, bumps her head on this low ceiling. She gets a concussion. They have to stop the boat. She gets off. Our entire party gets off. And we're all sort of standing on the side of the Yarra River, just like, you know, there's too many of us there. They're like, you know, we need some space. So me and one other girl get back on the boat, you know, while they're sorting it out. Boat leaves. So then there's 8 hens parties. Our friend's somewhere having a concussion. And it's just me and this one other girl sitting there. So we end up getting lap dances because, like, there's no one else there. And then that stripper, he quit that night because he was like, I can't believe I did this. He felt so bad that he gave my friend a concussion that he quit stripping.
Yeah, no.
It was disgusting. And it was like there were too many people just standing on, but we also didn't know when the boat was going to leave, so we just got stuck on the party while my friend was in the hospital.
What a speechless.
Well, I don't understand like why he quit, because I understand it's a low ceiling, but it's not like he knocked her out with his like dick or something. Like he accidentally threw her into a roof.
Yeah, but it was like what am I doing with my life? I'm sure it wasn't like a perfect job until then, you know?
Yeah.
Concussing women.
I think the reason why you hate children's parties is you're a big anti. You don't like poo humor. And all like baby showers is like trying to taste food off a nappy.
Did you know about this, Ben?
No.
So you get a bunch of nappies. They will melt different chocolate bars into each of the nappies and like label them 1 to 5. And then they pass them around, the melted chocolate on the nappy, and you have to like smell it and taste it and try and figure out what chocolate bar it is, like Boost or Snickers
or
whatever.
All right, that's fucked. That's fucked up. You guys
This is why women can't have parties, because we're too disgusting.
Bullshit. That's not okay. And we need to put a stop to this.
It's fucking gross.
That's neither funny, clever, nor cool. That's the
and I'm just
that's
saying,
the trifecta
that's what
of fucked things.
That's what happens when you put women in charge of comedy.
Absolute
it
nonsense.
It just goes wrong.
It's not now, okay. That's the worst thing I've ever heard. That's the worst thing you've ever told me. And you've told me some pretty fucked up shit, both of you. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Danny, I don't know if you remember this. But we said we would never have a man on this podcast. We made that promise to each other. Do you remember that?
Yes, but yes, I think we did. But that was also at a point where we were not having any guests on the podcast, so very easy to stick to. And we also did not have a man who
and
had
also,
been to a bachelor wedding.
Yeah, am I the first man on the pod?
Technically, Mark did pop in for one. But you're only our third guest as well ever. But
that's very exciting.
But yeah. I also think that when we said that, we were a lot angrier at the world, and now we're sort of tired.
Yeah, I think when we started...
Breaking you, so that's good.
When we started, it was not long until the Me Too stuff happened, and then I think collectively all women were extremely angry for a period of time.
Yeah. Not like now. Now we're all really happy.
Yeah, we're chill.
You're really cool and chill. Because everything's fixed, right? Like
everything's
Me Too
fixed.
Movement, Me Too movement fixed at all.
Exactly. Right? I don't know if you've read the news lately, but women are thriving.
Men have stopped being cunts. It's fine.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Now, Georgia was the Bachelorette for season two. So you guys, Danielle, you weren't watching back this far.
No.
Because I have watched every season of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette except for the very first one. So I saw the first season of The Bachelorette was Sam Frost. Now, I don't know if you guys know the story there, but it was a very entertaining one, actually, because she won season two of The Bachelor. He proposed and then broke up with her after the show aired. Or during the show's airing, broke up with her and then started dating the woman who came third. So people do not like him very much. And then she was the first Bachelorette. Now, what I don't like, and Danielle, you know about this now too, is Danielle frozen for you? Danielle, your internet is so bad.
Can you still hear me? I don't know what's happened. I don't know why. That's why I'm not talking that much, because I don't want to interrupt if I'm listening to a conversation that happened 20 seconds ago.
No, you're right.
Perfect for a podcaster. Not wanting to talk. So Sam Frost was the first Bachelorette. And what they often do is they will take people from previous seasons and make them the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. And it is never good. It is never good. They're good as bit parts. You make them the star. It doesn't work. Georgia Love, however, was a newscaster. She already had media training. And I think that is one of the main things that make a season good to watch, because I really, really enjoyed Georgia Love season. I was a big fan. I thought she did a great job. I thought she seemed normal. I thought she seemed to actually care about the people she was dating. It was amazing. And also, I'm on the Wikipedia page now. Out of all of the Bachelorettes, they are the only couple that are still together.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Georgia Love. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for those. Congrats for me.
So you went to the wedding.
It was a fucking... Yeah, it was a huge wedding. It's by far the biggest wedding I've ever been to.
Can you detail what happened from start?
You know, talk to other little rats.
Yeah. Do you want me to step through it now?
Yes, because I heard it was 3 days long. And I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah, so... It was very long. It was in Hobart. Apparently, I mean, Maggie didn't go to this because it was super expensive, but it was...
Maggie being your partner.
Yes. The Bachelorette party was a massive affair. Lots to do. I don't exactly know, but it was a big thing.
And so how much was this Bachelorette party?
Thank you so much for reporting that.
Sorry?
I think I saw the Bachelorette party. I think I saw it on her Instagram, actually. She was wearing...
Can I ask how much this Bachelorette party was? Because I imagine from seeing photos that it was like a few grand.
How much?
Potentially. Yeah, because Ben said it was really expensive.
I mean, a normal party by normal people who don't have sponsorships is like a few grand minimum, bro.
So it was like, but it was still, it was prohibitively expensive for Mags at the time.
Yeah.
Because you have to put in for the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
So, that's right.
She was just like, I can't do it. And apparently the Bucks party was a big thing as well. And then they had another Bucks party. They had two, apparently, allegedly.
Because the wedding was moved?
One closer to the date. Yeah. So they did that and they had that. And then...
I'm seeing it now. They gave her a date card. They went... onto a boat. It was like it was themed like the show, which makes sense because the show is called The Bachelorette. With lots of date cards. I remember that. I remember seeing that. Okay, Ben, please continue.
So it was a 3-day affair. Yes, that's true. So there was pre-drinks the night before down at the pier in Hobart, which is a beautiful area. So they had
cold?
That. We didn't go to that one. Yeah, it was freezing. It was freezing, which will then come into play later. So we didn't go to that because we just got in. We couldn't be, like, we were just like, we got in late and we kind of missed, like, we would have missed most of it anyway. So
did you catch a plane or did you catch a boat?
We catch a plane. And then the next day, we go to Frogmore Estate, which is this beautiful winery in Hobart, overlooking this just stunning valley and this massive sort of dish, like radio dish antenna. Mm-hmm. And
that is that a, like the...
Caught a double-decker bus in there. It was formal attire.
Danielle, what did you say?
It was...
Oh, I was just asking, like, is the dish that is at Frogmore Estate, is that the thing that you go to Frogmore Estate to look at? Like, is that the draw card or is it the winery or did it just happen to be there?
I think it just happened to be there in the distance. It was really sort of a big, it was a grand sweeping vista. Apparently, allegedly, there was paparazzi in the bushes, which was very exciting. People kept talking about paparazzi. No, I didn't see it. It became clear to me that these people love the paparazzi. Like everyone there was influencers, and they absolutely adore the paparazzi, and they worship them. But they have to keep up this guise that paparazzi is bad and terrible. But they actually love the paparazzi. However, the bride's father, I really like him. He's a really really nice dude,
mm-hmm.
and he got into a punch-up on the way to the winery. Not a punch-up, but a scuffle. A gentleman's scuffle with one of the paparazzi. So he doesn't like him. And he wow. had a great time. He loved it. Like, he loved getting into a little bit of a scuffle with a dirtbag, you know? And he was kind of...
Oh, yeah.
He was pumped. He was pumped for it. And he was
looking
great.
That would also be the worst thing to see, like, that random Daily Mail shit written about your daughter. You're like an old man. I can imagine. You'd just be ready to scuff him up.
Yeah, he was pretty stoked about it, actually, I reckon. Like, it was really... He was having a bit of fun. Anyway, so he was there. They did this... and then the wedding started. Everyone took their seats. They did a thing where they warm the rings, so they pass the rings over and everyone gets to hold them, which I thought was quite nice.
Extremely COVID safe.
Extremely COVID safe. That's true. It was a really nice little thing. Beautiful rings. Beautiful rings. I believe it was like a white gold silvery type thing.
Oh, nice. White gold. That's
very, very expensive. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Who knows? Who
cares, I don't know.
Really?
White gold is just an interesting choice now.
Is it?
Well, it was silver, maybe. I don't know. It definitely, in my mind, in my memory, it was not a gold and
white gold.
Yellowy color.
Yeah.
What the fuck
but
is
maybe
white
that's
gold?
Because I did a lot of damage to my mind that evening. So afterwards. Very nice service, actually.
Beautiful dress.
The MC was really good. The celebrant. Their vows were actually quite nice.
Celebrant funny?
Yeah. Yeah, nice. He had a good amount of little quips and fun things, and they were old friends, so it felt good and personal. And I think the wedding itself was a highlight for me of the wedding. I think it was a really nice
the ceremony.
Service. The ceremony, that's right.
Because often the ceremony can be fucking boring as shit. I went to a wedding once and based on the bride's family, it had to be like a Catholic service.
Mm.
And I hated it so much. First of all, the priest wasn't mic'd, so we couldn't hear
anything.
I've
been to one of those and they're just fucking awful. The Catholics don't know. Like, they will ruin pretty much anything that's supposed to be fun. including just living.
Yeah. They get quite a reputation, those guys.
So those fucking weddings suck. Catholic weddings suck.
Yeah.
Catholics suck. The Pope sucks.
Wow.
Fuck you.
Wow. Do you want me to write this down and edit it out? Are you cool to have this out there, Ben?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Wow, fuck. He'll say anything, this guy.
I will. Anyway. So the wedding was great. No, I don't cry. That I only get one cry in life, and I'm not gonna waste it.
You haven't used it yet.
No,
you've never cried.
No, that's not true. Which will become. Wait.
My god.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I was like, Maggie told me that I'm pretty sure you did cry.
Yeah. I did.
But not during the ceremony. Comes later. Because I often...
Just let me... I'm trying to build a story and a journey here, okay?
Yeah. I can cry pretty easily during a ceremony. Even if I don't know the couple very well at all, when it gets to the vows usually, which they didn't have at this Catholic wedding, or they weren't mic'd and I couldn't hear them. I could just see, like... 10 pictures of Jesus bleeding.
Yeah, sick. That's what you want. You want a dead... You want a dead dude. Bleeding out.
So, dead. So nice. Weird. They're so weird. They're just like... Yeah. He did... Jesus did other stuff as well. You could just paint a picture of him like, you know, I don't know, feeding people fish rather than him bleeding really dwelling the fuck on out,
that,
dying.
On that side of things, God. You know?
Anyway, chill but out. No tears for you there.
No tears there. And anyway, they had photos after that, which took a very long time. And there was a lot of influencers there, which...
oh, that would have taken because they usually take hours anyway, right?
Yeah. And they took it took a very long time.
Question.
It took a huge amount of time, yeah.
Vows. Did they write their own vows?
They did, yeah. And they were really nice and personal. It had
heart.
Were
they heart. Funny or were they romantic?
They were cute. I would say cute,
that's
romantic.
Good.
Yeah.
Not a poem?
They were just nice. No poems.
Do you
no
guys
readings
know?
Of anything. No, what is love is kind, love is patient, none of that bullshit.
Do you guys know who's that fucking tennis player? Hewitt. Leighton Hewitt.
Beck Hewitt, yeah. That poem is.
Danielle, do you know the Beck Hewitt poem?
No, did he write a poem for her? Was it an acrostic? Because, like, God,
no,
I hope it was
she
an
wrote
acrostic.
A poem for him.
She wrote a poem
she
for
wrote
him.
A poem.
Was
you
it an acrostic?
Read it?
Yes, read it.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
L is for love. L.
Okay. This is a poem Beck Cartwright read out at the reception of her wedding. Okay, so not the vows. All right. Oh, this is on... I found this on... Bad Emotional Poetry, the awful, truly awful poetry from the internet is the website. Okay. Long live love, we says. I really don't know where to start, but I definitely know you've captured my heart. It started that night you called me up to see if I'd play in the Starlight Cup. Way back then, little did we know that our love for one another could grow and grow. A text message or two is what kept us in touch, and I want you to know that I love you so much. It wasn't until late 2004 that I received another phone call. When we decided to meet, we went up the street for something to eat. From that day, I've been by your side, and look at me now, I'm here as your bride. I used to wish upon a star that I'd meet the perfect husband, and here you are. You're an inspiration to so many, including me. Anyone who's ever met you can count themselves lucky. I'm so lucky I've found the one. Being with you, I have nothing but fun. You are my best friend and my dream come true, and I'm so glad to be sharing this all with you. This is only the start of our dream together, but I promise to love you until forever. A poetically long time, to be sure. I can't wait to start my life with you. Just being together, our dreams will come true. I have no doubt I'm glad to be your wife, and being with me is now a part of your life. I admire you for so many reasons. I mean, look what happened at the Four Seasons. We're about to experience the miracle of life. But always remember, I'm so proud to be your wife. Having a family with you makes me so glad. I
wrap it up,
I'll
Beck.
Never get sad. Thank you so much for choosing me. By sticking together, we'll make a great family. Engaged and then married, and now one on the way. I'll take such good care of you every day. It's safe to say I'll love you more and more. And marrying you today, I couldn't be more sure. Rebecca Hewitt, I'm your wife. I promise you one thing: stick with me, and you'll have a bloody good life.
Oh, that's very bad. I think the thing I hate the most, well, I guess the thing is, like, it's good and bad. It's very bad in how it's written and how long it is and everything about it as a poem. But
long.
I guess if he is, like, willing to, like, this isn't the first time she's done a poem. You know, I assume that if she thinks that this is like an okay, normal thing to do and chill, that he is also sitting there at the reception
she's
loving
a songwriter.
It. Oh,
she
yes.
She's a songwriter. Yeah. I forget about that.
Oh, my God. You would expect better.
Would you, though? Having
I don't know any
of
her
songs,
You know? That's true. What songs did she sing? Does anybody know any of them? Do you know?
Fuck knows.
I'm sure I knew one of them.
Oh.
What was her name before? She got married.
Beck Cartwright. Is that what you said? Beck. Somebody said that.
Beck Cartwright. Right. Who's Beck?
Was that her name?
Beck Cartwright's song. It's All Seats Taken. Hang on. Let me get it up.
Oh, we don't need to.
Anyway, shall I crack on?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I remember.
I'll crack on. So, they're taking a lot.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Naomi.
What? What's up?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nothing.
So they're taking,
they're
taking a lot of photos. Everyone's taking photos. I'm getting stuck into the champagne. Okay?
So you're there because sometimes with...
I'm there.
Sometimes at weddings they you'll go away while they're taking the photos.
No, no. So we can just, we'll see them.
So you're
and
trapped.
When they get done, we all get onto a bus and go to a second location.
Hell yeah. You know what they say, and never go with an influencer to a second location.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're, you know, everything's fine at this point. Everything's great. We walk in, it's this big kind of like sort of Victorian huge building, but we're not in it. We're outside. On this big, long, one singular table.
I have seen photos of that. It's very beautiful. It looks like there's the building and then just nothing else.
Yeah, it's huge and it's looks stunning. It is Insta-worthy. And then that is, I believe, the point. then,
no, really?
And then and we're serenaded by a barbershop trio as Ooh. We come in, which is really nice. And there's oysters. And there's canapes, and there's drinks, there's, you know, Negronis and cocktails. And so we're there, and they're doing this. And then they have their first dance, which they sing. So the barbershop trio sings Gold Digger, the radio edit.
Yes. Thank God.
By three, I'm going to confirm this is
N-word.
Three old white men. Correct.
Yes, yes.
That's because so I saw this on Instagram. She posted it. And the suspense of me just waiting until they got to the chorus to see
too.
What happens.
I was like, are they going to fucking do it?
Well, that's the thing. When you play that song, when you play that song, like in a big, like I've seen people do it at karaoke.
Yeah.
Like you can control what you sing, but you also can't control that you've got a group of people together and they might yell out the N-word. I remember seeing someone do that song at karaoke and it was three guys who didn't know each other. They were all white and two of them didn't sing it. Actually, you know what? I think, no, it was a Biggie Small song. What's that one? And if you don't know, now you know. I'm not going to say the next word because I'm white. But one of them did. And then at the end of the song, when the song ended, he yelled, and he was wearing like a bowler's, what's that little hat that like sort of
the farm like, hat
tapers down at the front,
like farm a hat? Like a, I think it's like it's a farm like hat or like a baggy green.
Yeah,
it's like the farm hat,
a flat cap. So he's wearing that, and he goes, "It's what Biggie would have wanted." I'm like, I don't think you know Biggie at all.
I don't think that's what Biggie would have wanted.
Anyway,
in fact, I reckon I could pretty much safely say Biggie would not want a white man to say the N-word to one of his songs.
Yeah, I don't think he'd want three middle-aged, balding white men to be singing his songs at all.
Well, that's like when we went to Childish Gambino. It was so great because whenever he, you know, whenever it was coming up, the whole crowd was singing along. Nothing. They would let him take it away.
Really?
Yeah, it was...
That's really lovely.
It was great. Yeah, it was
that's
really great.
Because I saw No Name. You know the
rapper
progress. No Name?
That's progress. That's growth.
I saw the rapper No Name and so many of the white people were screaming out the N-word. And now she's like, I never want to perform for white people again. And I'm so embarrassed because she was clearly so frustrated with the Melbourne audience because it was so white. And she was trying to get us to do a call and response, but it was a little bit more complicated than like 1, 2, 3, 4. And she tried it like 10 times and no one could, the crowd couldn't figure it out. And shortly after, she swore off white audiences forever. And I was like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, fair enough. We are the worst.
Anyway, Gold Digger is their song for some reason. Do you know why?
So no, I don't know why.
Very funny.
Anyway, that brings the house down. There's some more drinks. Then we sit down. Now, sit down weddings are my least favorite. I hate seating plans. Just let us sit wherever we want. Why are we sitting? Especially because there wasn't very much food anyway. So it was just drinks. And I started drinking a lot because it was starting to get cold. And it got really cold outside.
You gotta warm up. Well, that's the thing I find so when there's free drinks and also when the drinks are expensive, I think people like us who aren't used to being in those environments try to get our money's worth, which is stupid.
And also it's good to know, like, you probably should know that I just started on Vyvanse, like,
hell yeah, brother.
And I hadn't been drinking I hadn't been drinking all year. Probably not the greatest life decision. Returned to drinking after not drinking for a year and also on amphetamines. And my body is just like still adjusting to Vyvanse.
What's the effect of that?
For like 2 weeks or so after when I started taking it, I felt a little bit crazy, but now
me too.
You know, it builds up. Yeah, it really made me feel erratic and kind of like I was losing my mind a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
But now I'm fine.
Oh, fun! Oh, I'm starting to settle into it too because I'm on 20 milligrams. You're on 30. 20 is the minimum, and I'm like, this is too much. But now it's starting to like level out, and I don't like wake up and feel like I'm actually high.
Yeah, I thought that I was going insane, and it wasn't. It wasn't euphoria, but it was something. It was something more like I'd been distracted from all of my mental health issues that are besides ADHD. And taking ADHD medication lifted the cloud so that I could see them and they could see me and say, and they all said hello.
Oh, no.
So that's like,
oh, no.
There's that period of adjustment. but now it's fine. I feel really good.
I still haven't been drunk on Vyvanse.
Yeah,
I'm kept you alert.
It made me go harder, It was not completely its fault, but it definitely was a contributor to my downfall later that evening. So we were sat, and it became clear that we were sat around old bachelorette contestants. So some of the dudes that were on the show with Georgia.
Did you tell me you took a photo of the seating plan, right?
I did, yes.
Can you please send it?
Okay, let me just...
Because I want to see if there's any names that I recognize. I doubt there is any that Danielle would know.
No.
But I may. So I got to see.
Let me find it.
Seats taken.
There you go. So yeah, and they were meatheads. Like, they were just fucking gormless fucking apes in suits.
Oh wait, this is the entire list.
That's the entire list.
Oh wow. Who is Disco Pill? Sorry, I'll stop doxing people, but
he that's his nickname, and he was the celebrant, and he was really good. He's a Hobart actor and musician. And big shout out to him. He did a fantastic job. Absolute professional.
Wow. If you're looking for a celebrant.
If you're looking for a celebrant, Disco.
Shit. Do you think they flew him in?
No, he's from Hobart.
Okay. Rob Mills.
Rob Mills. Millsy was there. Didn't talk to him.
Millsy.
Even though I wanted to, but I didn't get the chance because I don't know. But there
you
was a lot
have.
Of
that
referencing.
Been all right.
Yeah, there was a lot of referencing that Millsy was here. I think he was the most... I think he was the celebrity at the wedding.
Yeah.
And huge. So he was loving it. And, you know, he loves it. Millsy just loves it. He's happy. He's a happy guy.
He gets into it.
He seems nice and he gets into it. He embraces it. And anyway, so I get more and more fucked up.
He's on The Masked Singer, which we loved.
There's very little food on the tables throughout the night. And I don't really eat because I've lost my appetite because of the Vyvanse. And I start to outwardly say, like, call the dudes around me meatheads. And that's when things start to take a turn. I can feel it.
And these people that you're on the... you had some football players, right?
Yeah, well, that comes later. So at some point in the evening, they took a break. So they had the speeches, then took a break, and then had more speeches. And I didn't realize, and people had around the fire, and I think people were talking about sports, and I walked up to the group or something, or maybe I was already in the group. It gets a bit hazy. And I say that all sports people are narcissists and boring and can't hold a conversation. And there's Lana Wilkinson's husband, who is a Carlton ex-footballer, Liam something. He's there and everyone stops.
Liam Cooney.
Yep. And I and people kind of look at me and then I leave. And then I say something to Mags and they're still behind me when I say I was very rude to these people. And I kind of laugh about it. And I'm out of control at this point. I'm not me. I'm not myself. And then things get very hazy up until that point. So it really escalates quite quickly for me. I really take a turn. I think it was a whiskey that I had that really just sends me to hell. And I pass out a little bit. The father of the bride helps me a little bit and checks on me, makes sure I'm okay. He's very nice. And I apologize to him the morning after. Like, I call him and I say sorry.
Wait, so what? Can you paint a picture of what this moment looked like?
Of what?
Of you talking to the father of the bride, right?
Oh yeah, Friday. So I just said, called him.
Were you sitting down
after.
In a gutter? Because that's what I imagine.
Oh no, I'm asleep on a couch.
Oh, okay.
And then I get up.
Wait, outdoors? Are you still outdoors?
Yeah, everyone's outdoors. It is fucking cold. It is so cold. And there's a saxophone player at some point, and they play Les Mis songs. And at some point, all of the bachelor, ex-bacheloristic contestant, in a scripted moment during one of the speeches, they sing, "Hello, my name is Elder Price, and I have the most exciting news for you."
Wait, so there's Les Mis?
So, no, that's
Les Mis
Book
later.
Of Mormon.
Sorry, I'm getting my time...
What is
yes,
happening?
Yes, I know. So I'm getting a little bit mixed around because my time frame gets a little bit hazy around here and I apologize. So there's the speeches. There's that scripted moment where everyone sings from Book of Mormon.
Wait, do they change the lyrics to Hello?
They just sing it.
So they just talk
and
about...
people get up. Yeah.
Hello, and my name is Elder Price.
They can't hit that big high note at the end.
Hello.
Hello. Anyway, they do a good job. It's kind of cute for a bunch of fucking absolute meatheads.
I'm sorry, that's crazy. Just do a musical. And do a musical. I feel like with these big events, people always want to fit in stuff that they've wanted to do. It's kind of similar to comedians, and they'll be like, "I've always wanted to be a singer. I'll put this into my show." And you're like, "Are you doing this because it's funny? Or are you doing this because..." You also want to sing, and you think, well, I can do it and no one's going to think it's really weird if I do it right now.
I think it's interesting because it was really nice. And Georgia and Lee, like, even though you might be skeptical, however skeptical you might be, I think that they do genuinely love each other. So that's nice.
Oh, I'm
however,
not
so, my,
yeah, I believe
and my
they
experience
do as well.
Was, my experience was just, I think I was freaked out because I was around so many influencers. And I found out that I actually absolutely hate influencers. I think that they are some of the worst people in the world. They are just so vapid and boring. There were some good people at the wedding. There were some really good family friends there. And I did have some good conversations and there were good people there. But a lot of those just straight up influencers, they were just terrible. Terrible people.
I think I would like to be in a room like that, but as soon as I got in there, I would just fucking panic and feel weird and short.
And I think part of the reason why I got so kind of out of control and rude and a little bit, and that's the extent of the rudeness, just me being a cunt to some people and passing out on the couch. Then I think partly was it because it felt like high school again. Like it felt like I was back in high school and these people were the jocks and I was just like surrounded by them and I didn't know anyone. And I got so drunk, and then it kind of stirred up these emotions within me, and I was upset by them.
And this is the worst possible chemical concoction that you could give. This reminds me of, have you seen that episode of 30 Rock where she goes to her high school reunion to stick it to them, and then she finds out that she was the weird one who was just insulting everyone all the time when they were trying to be friends with her?
Yeah, in my mind it feels a lot like a sort of a cross between the wedding in Sideways and when the wedding singer goes crazy in The Wedding Singer. I have a little, I'm that guy. I was that guy at a wedding. I was that guy at the wedding. Luckily, everyone else was just as fucked up. So I feel like I kind of faded into the background a lot. But I was definitely, at one, I went to a wedding in Perth last year? I don't even remember. Maybe it was the year before. But, and Andrew Wolf, a comedian, was that guy. And he was an absolute mess. And I was like, I'm never going to be that guy. And here I am being Andrew Wolf at this wedding.
Yeah, you were the joker of the wedding.
Andrew Wolf has a certain charm, I think.
It was upsetting. And then we got onto the bus, and then got out of the bus, and I was really angry at that point for some reason. Into Hobart, and I ran out into the night and into Hobart and walked around for a bit. Yes.
Without
Maggie. And then I called
Maggie. Oh my God.
And I got really upset and I cried. And then found me. Yeah. And then she found me.
Oh my God,
and
Ben.
I went home.
Can you say where she found you? Can you say what you said to.
I don't even know.
You said to Maggie, I'm at the hospital. And then she came to the hospital thinking you were hurt. And then you were just standing out the front of the hospital like you'd used it as a landmark.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh,
I was very upset for some reason. And I don't know why I was upset. I don't know why. I was just so upset. And I was so... it was just all emotions at once. And I really had a minor mental breakdown.
Terrible for you.
Yeah. So,
also, she said she was with you completely, and then all of a sudden you just ran away, and then the next thing was the message that you're at the hospital.
Yeah, I ran away.
Was she calling you? And
yeah, and she got really worried, but then I turned up eventually.
Obviously, the message I'm at the hospital is a very scary message to receive.
Yeah, it is.
But I wasn't thinking coherently. I wasn't myself.
Yeah.
I was in another world.
Ben. Oh, no.
Anyway, wake up very, feeling very sorry for myself. Swearing off drinking altogether. And I'm not drinking anymore.
That sounds good for you.
We did go to the after drinks, the recovery. I did show my stupid, fucked up little face at that place. And it was beautiful. It was this massive sort of mansion on the sort of waterfront in Hobart. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely stunning. Another Instagram worthy place for all the influencers to really sink their teeth into.
Nice,
beautiful.
But there were, we chatted to some of the nice people that we met at the wedding, and I, talked to the bride and talked to the groom, and they were they didn't give a shit. They were totally chill. They didn't care that there was this little man being an absolute maniac.
Scurrying around.
They had a great time. They appreciate, and they laughed at the fact that I did. So they were very good sports about it. And the Chris, the father of the bride, was a great sport about it as well. When I called him, he was very chill about it. So it was just,
That's great. It sounds like a lot of your turmoil was internal rather than external, which is, if you're going to have a breakdown at a wedding.
I definitely I definitely disgraced myself. If you know, I had no chill at points.
Oh, this is so. This is, you're gonna hold on to this for the rest of your life. Hey?
At least you know
it
though.
It was
like, you know how some people are just like they go crazy at a party. They ruin the party, and then they're like, "That's just me, man. I'm crazy at a party."
Oh my god. No, you can't be friends with people. That's a cutoff for me. That's cutting the toxic people out of my life. Vibes.
Yeah, it was beautiful wedding. My only criticism, it was too cold, and it was all outside. But other than that, so
I mean,
lavish.
Well, at least you had a suit, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I can't
right.
imagine what the women were feeling.
I know,
in
they
dresses.
Would have been fucking freezing.
Did there they bring jackets at least?
There were some real frocks. No, one lady was that opposite us who was in a very tight dress with that slick back hair look. It was kind of a wet look for the hair.
Oh.
She was wearing a friend's jacket that was white, that was very expensive, and she fell over and got wine all over it. So,
no.
You know, that was fun.
Sounds like you weren't the only idiot.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Oh, there were so many idiots there.
Thank
but I
God.
Think I was the... I think I was the angriest for no reason whatsoever. so, yeah, it happened.
It sounds like you were just like a few therapy sessions short for that wedding.
I made a couple of errors, okay? And those errors were, I should not have drunk while on brand new medication.
Yeah, brand new uppers as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and? I think that's where I think that would have solved a lot of my problems.
I think you also should not have run off into the night.
Well, that was I think if I had not drunk so much, then I wouldn't have run off into the night. But, woke up, had some blisters on my feet, did a lot of walking, got my steps in at least, you know, and, was very sheepish at the recovery drinks.
Oh, I think no. You have a bit of a hair of the dog, or you'd
I don't,
said no
I think
more
with
at that point.
Yeah, no. I was upset because even I think at the time, these people they were jocks and whatnot, and that kind of triggered me because I don't like jocks and don't that sort of thing.
Yeah,
because
trauma.
Yeah, but I think the worst thing that you can do at that situation is let them see that you don't like them. Like, you need to be a rock and you can't need to be unreadable around those people. And if you can sort of give them shit in a way that they don't pick up on, great, but never let them see you like weak. Weakness.
Yeah,
that's what you need to do.
So you might still be a few therapy sessions short, for sure, based on that.
What, no, around those people? They're awful.
Yeah, but you just, like, I think the answer would be to just not let them affect you.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're strangers. They don't know who you are. They didn't bully you in high school, Ben.
I think it's the influencer thing. I just don't like influencers. I think that they're eroding our society because they give this... broadcast these perfect lives when really they are nightmares to be around because they're always taking photos and they're very boring to be around, so their life is not perfect at all. But it sets unrealistic standards for everyone out there that's stupid enough to follow them, and
it's
then
true.
They end up feeling depressed and sad about their lives when in reality they've got it so much better than these people that are broadcasting fake lives out there like it's their own.
So essentially,
that's what genuinely pisses me off.
So essentially, it was sort of like 8 hours of Ben being inside Instagram, being flashed ads and perfect lives and things. And it's like you getting off Instagram after a breakdown from being on Instagram too much, just over the course of a day.
Yeah, it was a real peek behind the curtain.
Actually,
it made
what?
Me angry.
I have been to VidCon before, which is all like sort of content influencers, I guess. Less so like the hot, you know, fitness people, but more like vloggers and that kind of thing. And it did make me weirdly very, very anxious being around those people. And I couldn't figure out why. It was just like their energy was like just disgusting.
Yeah, it's a real energy, and it's so just money and
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Looks, and that's everything. There's nothing else.
No, they're not being genuine because they
no,
have...
No, there's nothing there.
Their whole job is their vibe.
Yeah.
They have to upkeep the brand.
So I think that, when I talk about, like, I don't think it's so much the jocks. I think it's that really grinds my goat. But, you know, Georgia is a... she would class herself as an influencer, and she's a very nice person, a genuine person. So it can be done. Yeah. I just think that I saw so much of it. It was a bit of a sensory overload. And in my weakened mental state, I was unable to keep it together.
To say the least. Well, that's why Georgia was the Bachelorette, because I think you need someone with a genuinely good personality at the helm of the show or it falls apart. Like we've seen with, I would say, all but two seasons of The Bachelor, including fucking Honey Badger, worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And also the first season that we watched on this podcast. So that's very, very cute. Now, Ben.
Yes.
Quick question. Is there any reality TV that you do like?
I watch, just purely because Maggie watches it a lot, I watch Real Housewives of mainly New York is probably my favorite.
She loves The Real Housewives, eh?
She loves The Real Housewives. She's a massive fan.
She's always trying to push it on me. I've seen Real Housewives of Melbourne, which is amazing.
It is very good.
And it's nice because they're
That'll be on the TV. I've sort of seen all of the Housewives spin-offs and iterations. And that'll be on the TV. My favorite is New York. I enjoy Beverly Hills as well. And I like...
Oh, that's the one with the famous fight... where they throw the drink. Is that Beverly Hills?
Yeah, I believe it is.
Yeah, one of the best unscripted scenes in history.
And I also like Melbourne as well because, you know, it's fun and these people are insane. But, so that's probably my one. But other than that, I am proudly reality TV free. I'm like an old man.
But, no, that is not true.
Yells at a cloud.
You have recommended... that I watch old reality TV, and that is what Danielle and I are getting into now. Is it Rock of Love that you're in?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Thank you so much for reminding me. During lockdown, we went through all seasons of Rock of Love, and we watched them all. Excellent television.
Well, that's what we're going to start
on. School reality TV show. You know, it's one of the first ones, and it is so trashy.
Brett Michaels,
who is one of the worst people on the, like, not on the planet, because, I mean, there's murderers, but he's a terrible person.
Are there three seasons?
Yeah.
Are they to get Brett Michaels a partner?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's the same as it's the same as Flavor of Love.
I believe Flavor of Love was first, and then Rock of Love was second, but Rock of Love was the most popular one. And it's basically just him saying... to the camera over and over again, she's hot. No, you know, she's hot. She's amazing. And just trying to pick from all these different strippers. Who he wants
strippers.
To. Yeah. Yeah, they're all strippers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Danielle, we got to get into one of these. I mean, I'm a big fan of Flavor of Love. I've seen the first two seasons of Flavor of Love. I struggled with the third season because I think the woman who won the second season of Flavor of Love really loved Flavor Flav. And for him to dump her to do a third season. I couldn't get past it, to be honest.
I think, I would put it, if I can amend my, I don't like reality TV. I like old reality TV shows on MTV. Because they're real fun. Like I liked what is it called? Jersey Shore. And I like Double Shot of Love, which is Paulie and... Yeah, which is two of the dudes from Jersey Shore doing Double Shot of Love.
Is it Paulie and Vinny or Paulie and the Situation?
Paulie
and Ronnie? Paulie
and Vinny. I think the Situation is in jail.
Oh, great. Wow. You should watch Kid Nation, Ben. We watched Kid Nation and it was fucking sick.
Yeah, we reviewed Kid Nation on this pod and it's our most successful series to date because they just put 40 kids in the middle of nowhere alone. And And they didn't make a second season because of all the lawsuits. And it's great.
They have to, like,
there's
kill...
There's several instances where you're like, a kid is going to die.
Yeah, they have to kill their own animals.
I would actually listen to this, and I'm being sincere here. I would listen to a podcast of you guys watching Rock of Love because I think it would make you so angry.
Yeah, all right, we'll do it.
Like, Rock of Love stands for everything that you guys are against.
Great. Can't wait to be angry.
I think you overestimate our...
It is so...
Our morals.
It is so exploitative and so demeaning to...
So is Flavor of Love, and I really got into that. He doesn't even use their real names. He gives them all a nickname and slams the sticker on their breast or their ass. And all their names are like Delicious, Hottie.
Yeah.
Doesn't even learn their names. Anyway, okay. Yeah,
Brad Michaels can only really say hot and awesome. That's kind of the extent to his vocabulary. And he only has two songs, and he'll play those two songs over and over again during
Hell
the show.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we gotta do that.
And
yeah,
it's we'll just do people that. With, you know, real daddy issues and alcohol, you know, problems with alcohol and drugs going on this show and getting fucked up and trying for some reason to win the love of Brad Michaels. But I don't know why, because he is just the worst.
Ed Hardy. Yeah, I have Ed Hardy.
So much Ed Hardy.
But don't tell anyone that it's Ed Hardy, please. all right, now
Ed
Ben,
Hardy,
we...
Juicy, you know, that sort of stuff. Real good
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Ben.
A real, yes.
We have a question that we ask every guest on the pod, which okay. we forgot. Now, you're only the third guest and we've already forgot to ask one of them. So
okay.
So you're the second
back.
Person.
Danielle, please.
Okay, so essentially a few years ago, Jono asked me a question, which was a hypothetical, which now I've brought into the podcast and has been an ongoing thing. Anyway, this is the question. So the question is, Naomi, quickly, would we make it Ben or would it be Maggie because Ben's in a relationship with somebody? Like,
Ben.
Would Ben,
it's Ben.
Okay, it's Ben. Okay, so Ben, you wake up and you realize you are going to have a baby today. You have an option. The universe says you can either have the baby today or you can eat a baby's arm and the baby will disappear. What do you choose? Do you eat the baby's arm? Yeah, you have to eat a baby's arm and the baby will go away, or you have to keep the baby forever.
I'll keep the baby.
Okay, and this question is twofold. So how many babies would you have to have before you ate the baby's arm to stop having babies?
probably,
what's your limit?
I mean, I don't know. It depends how painful the childbirth was. Considering I don't have a vagina, it would have to pop out of my butthole or peen.
They can do a C-section. Probably. They'll do a C-section.
Yeah, but, you know, when you...
they'll do C-section.
The skin between your vagina and your asshole tears open anyway. So just imagine that whole area just
a flutter.
But like I said, you can get a C-section.
We can't do that.
Okay, sorry. You will have to have your dick completely ruined.
It
Ben,
really makes
so.
An alfresco dining area out of your asshole. So it's. is the baby with my part with Maggie? Maggie's the mother?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd probably just have one. I think you know, just think about it. We've just, you know, I think one is enough. And before I start, find a baby and eat their arm.
Okay.
So two, if you had to have two babies, you'd rather eat a baby's arm.
Oh.
And again,
yeah, is it a sick baby? Like, can I get a sick baby?
You don't know. You don't know where it's basically a black market baby's arm. It comes to you on a plate. You do not know.
Oh, so
what
I don't have to find
a
baby.
To.
I order a baby's arm, and baby's arm comes.
Yeah, just
yeah,
rocks
but
up.
You know it was attached to a baby.
Yeah, but I didn't have anything to do with the removal of that arm. I don't know if the baby was already dead, or you know, or if it was you know. Going to be grow up to be a mass murderer or anything. I can just go
or
well,
grow up to cure cancer. I mean, I feel like you're.
Ben, if it makes you feel better, I said zero. I would immediately eat the baby's arm. I would have zero babies. So
I'd probably eat the baby's arm after one. One's
okay,
enough.
Yeah. Naomi said 100, which is crazy.
It's basically just according to...
Yeah.
So this is just according to your plan on how many kids you want is essentially what you're doing.
Yeah.
Very pragmatic.
Naomi's was based on how many
anyway, you know,
she didn't want to die. So she said 100. She would have 100 babies before she's... Well, at that point, all the babies are starving to death anyway because she can't afford to feed them all.
Yeah, but you got to eat one baby. One baby's arm cures you from your pregnancy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're still going to kill one.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. Maybe that baby is just a one-armed person just wandering around for the rest of their life. I don't know.
When Danielle posed this question to me, the reason I said 100 is because I can't bear the thought of taking a baby's arm from the baby. And Danielle was like, oh, I never thought about the baby. She just...
You can't think about the baby in this situation.
See, Naomi, I'm correct.
I would say that is the only thing stopping you from eating the baby's arm straight away is the fact that it comes from a baby.
You can't think about the baby right now. You know, you got...
Okay, I'll just add Ben to the list of monsters.
Oh my god.
Monsters.
Naomi, you also would eat a baby's arm. You would do it, but you just have 100
babies.
You're still going to eat the baby's arm. So you're still a monster.
Oh, Danielle, grow up. Sick of you. Canceling the podcast.
Rude.
Now, Ben, we usually we read out the ratings of the podcast. We read out if there's any new reviews.
Okay.
And I'm just seeing, how do you read the reviews? There you go. No, I don't think we have any new reviews. Oh wait, how do I figure out?
Shit.
Hang on. Sorry, I got an iPhone, so I thought I'd go straight on the iPhone app now. I do think that's important for everyone on the podcast to know that I do have an iPhone now. So I am taking better pictures. I am a girl's girl now, which is really exciting for me. You're Android, right, Ben?
Yeah, I'm Android.
Yeah, loser.
Nah, man.
Oh my god, we have a new review.
We have a new review?
From Argyle Noir. From the United States of America. Ben, okay. Where you're from.
Yep.
The title of the review is Naomi's curtain bangs are gorgeous.
Oh, finally. Somebody's saying something yes! nice about Naomi.
Finally. I love this pod, but I'm now more excited for the spin-off featuring Hum and Jono. Well, that will never be happening because they are monsters. And honestly, whenever they're in the same room, I become instantly terrified because that is too much power and not enough empathy. And Danielle, do you have a song for it? So Ben, the other thing we do is we sing a different song by sing over a different song by Kevin McLeod every week.
No. Great. I don't. Sorry because I sent you a text message and you didn't respond to me because last week you got angry at me for picking a song we'd already done. So I sent you a text message to say, Naomi, pick the song since you said last week you were gonna take over it. So I'm gonna make up my own Kevin McLeod review. I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because Kevin McLeod's reviews don't often match the song at all.
The descriptions the descriptions of the songs. Have you ever read the descriptions of the songs by Kevin McLeod, Ben?
No.
Well, they're just like this. Two pugs sitting on a beach. One eats a bunch of sand and then shits out a big sand donut of shit. And then a crab comes over and then... It makes it into those little balls that make up a crab's home. And, but at 2 minutes 33, there's a synth in the song. And then there's a bit of bass. Green leaves are usually the colour of on a tree, except in August when it starts to turn to winter in this country and they get orange. And that's usually the sort of review, sort of a description
really
for a song.
Good.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's
exactly
great,
what
Danielle.
A description would be from Kevin.
All right. Well, that's enough. Ben, thank you for coming on the podcast. You have 3 live shows of The Grub.
That's right.
At Comedy
so we've got,
Festival.
Yeah, we do. So we've got The Grub, and that'll be happening for in one of the 3 weeks. One second, please.
One of the 3 weeks.
one of the three weeks, mean? But let me just check it and see what's up. I'll tell you the dates of it.
I think this guy is ready to plug.
I think I'm doing one on the 10th of April.
Yep, April 3rd, 10th and 17th, we'll be doing live shows at 3 p.m. at Comedy Republic. With secret special guests, top secret.
Who knows who will be there on the 10th? No way to know.
Get your tickets in because we have sold over 75% of our run already. So tickets are going fast.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
Shit.
And so make sure you get in.
I've got to buy a fucking
risk
ticket.
Losing out.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Will you release the recordings?
Yes, we will.
Yeah, nice.
But, you all know, right. It'll be an electric atmosphere.
Yeah, that's true. You want to catch the vibes. You can't get
also,
the vibe.
Also, check out a show that I've sort of helped, I wouldn't say direct, but definitely assisted in the workshopping and writing process. It's called Catching Jack.
Ooh, who's
and
that?
And it's with three wonderful people, Maddie, Ella, and Millie. They're doing a show at TIC. I don't know the dates. I think it's the first week. I think they're just doing the 1 week. But it's
improv
a little sketch,
conspiracy.
Narrative-based sketch show, and it's lots of fun. Yeah, and they're very, very funny. So, they've done one show the year before, and this is their sort of next show all together, and it's going to be a good one. So check that out as well, please.
Ben, would you say that you are single-handedly responsible for ushering in a new generation of hilarious women?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. All right. And on that note, that's the end of the pod. Please tune in next week. Bye. I'm sorry about this one. Batch bitch. Batch bitch. Batch bitch. Batch bitch. Batch bitch. Batch bitch. She's still going. Go off, Danielle.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.